Okay, ladies, everyone, come on in. Let's come on down. Where are our middle schoolers? Oh, good, you guys are here. I was looking for guys. I'm like, where are they? Okay, you are here. This is awesome. Why don't we start off with a prayer? Let's pray. Father, you are so amazing in how you love us. You're so amazing in how you take care of us, how you provide for us, how you think about us, how you cherish us. Father, I pray that we will be this way towards you, that we will love you, that we will seek you, that we will desire you all the days of our life. Father, I pray that you be with me tonight, be with our hearts as we talk about this. Father, I pray that as we talk about sexual integrity and modesty, that we will seek your heart and that we will seek you and seek your desire for us. Father, I pray that it's not a time of guilt. It's not a time of shame, but it's really a time for us to understand you and understand your plan for us and who we are as women, and that you want so much more for us than what the world has to offer. Thank you so much for this time. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Oh, good. So, it's funny, you know, this class, I actually started talking to the teens about the idea of sexual integrity earlier in the year. And so, I was going to start talking to the middle school about it. And then we kind of thought, well, maybe we should get the parents involved. And then we started thinking, oh, wait, there's campus and single. And then I was like, oh, wait, you know what? We can all talk about this. I think it's really important that we all get on the same page. And it's really important that I think we talk about these things. Our younger generation really needs us to talk about it, because I think they're bombarded everywhere they go, images, music, what they hear, what they see around them at school. And I think it's so important that we talk about it. And hopefully tonight is just going to start the dialogue. I don't have all the answers. I don't. And I hope it sparks just conversations that we can have with each other and that we can have with our young people and that we can even have. Personally, I think sexual integrity is a lifelong journey. It's not just for single people. It is a lifelong journey, even for marrieds. And so I want to introduce this because I think in the past we've talked about modesty, which is good. We've also talked about, purity, sex in the context of marriage. But I really want to introduce us to something. Started reading probably a couple years ago, before Dakota went to middle school. I kind of was like, okay, you know what? I grew up in a house where we didn't talk about it. And so as my daughter was getting older, I was like, I guess I have to deal with this. But I went to a class in San Antonio, and it was sexuality and our children. And it was so funny because the whole class, I'm going in there, right? And I'm thinking, okay, they're going to give me the answer. They're going to tell me what to do. I'm going to get a plan. There's going to be A, B, C. And then when I'm done, she's going to get it. And I'll be good. Needless to say, that was not the class. The entire class was about me dealing with my own hang-ups. Because I think sometimes when we talk about sexuality, we swing the pendulum. We're either like I was, who's like, what? The stork brought my children, you know? Or you're on the other end, which we treat it in a very, very casual, very, I don't know what the word is. But I think we can really treat it like it is, like the world does. It's something that we laugh at. It's something that's, it's just we don't really take it seriously. And I think we could swing the pendulum. And so the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. And I think the class was really good because I walked away like, man, it's really about me and my hang-ups. And so I know that was a long intro, but what I want us to talk about, is this idea of sexual integrity. I started reading And it was really interesting, just the concept of it, because there was so much more than about, you know, because I think sometimes we can look at modesty and think about it in terms of rules, what I should, shouldn't wear, or even in terms of I don't want to make someone else struggle, which is true. We don't want to do that. But I think it's so much deeper than that. And there's lots of aspects of it when it comes to sexual integrity, but tonight I'm going to really talk more about just modesty. And with our teens and middle schoolers, we're actually going to explore other areas of sexual integrity at a later date. I'll let you guys know. But I want this to be interactive, so I need you guys to talk to me. That includes you guys, teens, middle schoolers, talk to me. Okay? It helps if I turn it on. So what do you think is sexual integrity when I say that? The teens have we've talked a little bit about it, so they kind of sort of know. What do you guys think I'm talking about when I say sexual integrity? What do you think it means? No right, wrong answer. Anyone else want to add to that? You waved. You're just saying hi. That's good. Anyone? Okay. I know it's one of those things where it's funny. When we did it with the teens, they pulled out their dictionaries, you know, on their phone, and they Google integrity and they Google sexual, you know. And so it was good. I was like, that's a good place to start. But I thought we'd start with a couple of scriptures. And so, Genesis 1 and verse 27, it says here, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So what do you guys think this scripture means? Mm-hmm. Noelle?
What's wrong with her clock? It's fading out.
Mm-hmm. That God created our bodies, and he had a plan for them. Anyone else?
Gina? Like the power cord thing. It was just the power, this thing just loose.
I agree. I think it's so special that even at the very beginning of creation, God had a plan for male and female, and that we are very special, and it's not like an afterthought. I agree. If anything, I feel like when God finished with woman, he said, it is good. And prior to, you know, it was very good. So that's how, that was my idea. I'm like, hey, creation wasn't done until we were created. Another day, another story. Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were created in his image, and so God can totally relate to us. He knows our inner workings. Go ahead, Dean. We're created. Yeah, it makes sense. Yes, that. Yeah, we were created. And there are similarities, but the ultimately it's that we reflect God. Yes. Anyone else? Go ahead, Mary. Absolutely. I think, you know, sometimes we feel like I know for me, sex can sometimes be a dirty word, but that's not the case. God made it, but he made it in a very good context. Absolutely. Go ahead, Carol.
Everything about us, it originates from him.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, his perfection and glory and his awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about us actually needs to be able to reflect.
Yes. Everything good, everything that's part of us does reflect him. And I think that's what's amazing about this scripture. It says that God created us in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. And that when God created us, he didn't just think, oh, let me... Like you think about all the other things he created, the animals, the fish, all these different things. They weren't made in God's image. We were. And we were made to reflect him. When he created us, the whole point of us being created was that we would reflect him. And that when people look at us, when the angels looked at us, they saw God. And I think that's something we forget sometimes. Like, I am supposed to reflect God. I am supposed to be his image bearer. And that's his plan from the very beginning. Let's look at this scripture here. It's in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So what do you guys think about this scripture? Absolutely. I think, you know, our bodies are very precious because God does own them. And it was bought at a price. Anyone else want to add? Go ahead, share. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great responsibility because of that. Absolutely. I think we do have to think through, because it's easy to just do things, go about our day, and we don't even realize the things that we do. Does it honor God? Does it give God glory? Does it really reflect him? Absolutely, that's true. I saw a hand back here somewhere. Oh, go ahead, Sharon. That is deep. Yes, where how we treat ourselves, how we treat our bodies. It is. It's a place of worship for God. Absolutely. Go ahead, Julia. That's true. That's very, very true. It's true. When we're pregnant, we are very aware. But I think sometimes we're not aware of the Holy Spirit. That is very true, very convicting. Anyone else want to add? Go ahead, Dee.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are. No, absolutely. Yeah.
I guess, like, that's kind of like the awareness about the scripture.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Being aware, you know, and how we are precious. And I think how we dress and how we treat ourselves, it does. It expresses a lot. And we will go there, but not yet. anyone else want to add anything before I actually give you? Go ahead. That's true. I don't think we could ever outgive God. Never, ever, ever possible. And so, okay.
And I think, you know, the fact that, you know, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. So the Holy Spirit living in us means that God actually lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means. So I think, you know, the more kind of a heart and life you have to carry my really amazing heart.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. I think it is. It's so convicting and it's sobering when we realize, wow, God is with me. He's inside of me. And, you know, the responsibility, the soberness of that, I think it's very, very important. And so, sexual integrity, it's treating myself and others as beings who reflect God, and not as objects to satisfy sexual gratification and pleasure. When we have sexual integrity, we don't look at people as objects. We don't look at them as a way to satisfy our own desires or our own sexual desires. Or, you know, sex is very normal. I think God made us to be sexual. That is who we are, but he made us to be that way in a certain context. And when we don't use it in that context, it really messes us up. It really destroys us. But the beauty of this is, I think when we decide that I'm going to have sexual integrity, that I'm not going to use myself or other people just to meet that sexual desire. You know, and when you decide that you're going to be sexually, that you're going to have sexual integrity, I think it's the answer to lust, to pornography. You're not going to look at somebody, you know, and think, oh, whatever. Because you're seeing them as a person and not just an object. Yeah, I think it also, when we have sexual integrity, we're not going to have sex outside of marriage because we're not using this other person to satisfy this desire that we have. They're not just an object. They're an actual person that we're willing to commit to before we do something like that with them. I think it's the answer to masturbating. You know, really deciding that I'm God's body. I'm not going to do this to relieve stress, to, you know, whatever. I mean, there's so many things that happens, I think, sometimes when we're caught in that. But then when we decide that, you know, I'm going to treat this body like it's God's, and I'm going to treat other people like they're God's, I think we view things very differently. We do things very differently. And so in light of that, how does modesty connect to sexual integrity? Go ahead, Annalise. It's protecting others from... Okay, yeah. Noel? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah. true. That's right. I think how you, yeah. No, that's true. Go ahead, Noah. Nice and loud. That's okay. If you remember, we'll come back to it. But no, I think the thing about sexual integrity and modesty, it's really not about how people view us. It's about how we view ourselves. It's about what we think about ourselves and how we communicate it and how we dress. And yes, we don't want to dress crazy because we don't want people to struggle. Absolutely. But I think it's more than that. It's about what kind of person am I going to be. So you guys know I was in the beauty industry for 18 years. And so when you're surrounded by it and you're in it, and especially at some of the levels that I've been able to really do this at, it's been fascinating, to say the least. And so I'm going to give you guys a quick little fashion lesson here. So this was New York Fashion Week this year, 2019 trends. So take a good look at that. So this is what's on the runway. This is what we call high fashion. It's not necessarily what you buy in the store, because it's high fashion. Only the superstars and the movie stars and those people wear this stuff that comes off the runway. The rest of us normal people don't. They actually translate it to this, which is what they call streetwear. This is what you're seeing in the stores right now. This is what you're going to get off the shelves and, you know, I mean, the racks when you go to department stores. And then this is how they translate it to the junior apparel. So you see how in New York, they do this runway show, right? And then from there, it kind of trickles down to all generations. So what comes to mind when you guys look at these images? Go ahead, Noel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can definitely see the progression. Tammy over there, and then we'll go here.
No, I don't have to agree with you. I'm not going to deny it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. 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 There is definitely a progression there, Mary.
Somebody's talking.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
I think that part of the problem is that you think that because there's more covered, that it's more. In reality,
two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
And so all of it, to some extent, has
a... when I was younger, I never noticed.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, though, that we've placed the standard that says
but now
that
I'm over.
The lower you are on an hour total,
yeah,
I have to work harder
mm-hmm.
to attract my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the fallacy,
is
that
when I
find
out there 100
my attention, or whoever that audience is, that
it's across the street or behind the bushes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I can hear them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead.
I don't know, I never heard that out of a cat. It's probably always talking. So when I get a mom, she had a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it
mm-hmm.
was too hard. From our porch to the porch of
neighbor.
We're on a football
yeah.
field. Billy was up there. I could hear them talking in the camera.
Yeah.
That's a bad night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the way in the back.
I don't know, maybe just all get married. You know, as we older, we talk about it, we don't hear it. I talk too loud to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll start repeating. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So what's your game plan? How long are you here and working?
Absolutely.
Wow. So you already passed your full time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought about it. You know, I'm going to find out where it's been less than 90 days. A big married couple. A year ahead might actually turn on
you. Yes. No, absolutely. Go ahead.
Who cares?
Sorry, can you hear me? Okay. You know, I was talking to Chloe.
I'm trying to
get
Baxter
Health
Care.
I'm
new
to that. And so,
I get that,
I didn't think it. Like, I was like, that is really cute. But thinking about it and understanding the body language and
mm-hmm.
the mindset, I think sometimes
I'm comfortable. That's what I'm my wife so
scared. Body suit and clothing, which it's a big part of it, but it's not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also your mindset. And so
absolutely.
Just seeing the pictures and seeing the body language and the mindset and how
want to hear a funny story? We had a storm last Sunday, right? I bricked them in front of
you. You know, you dress your age, but it was
around all the batteries when I was traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What batteries
like,
go?
It might be a different color.
Turn around,
mm-hmm.
So I had a case all the
absolutely. I think the thing I want us to see from these images is, and it's true, when you're in an industry, and when you're bombarded with these images, you start getting desensitized to them. You actually start thinking, I'm with you, like, oh, that's cute. Or, you know, oh, you know, whatever it may be. We can really get desensitized. And how we dress does affect how we think about ourselves. And how we carry ourselves. And how we act. It goes both ways. I think there's stuff in us that desires those things, and that's why we dress and act that way. And then because we dress and act that way, we end up being that way too. You know, and so it's this thing that goes back and all around constantly. But what I want us to understand is our culture equates beauty with sexy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it really does. And if you're not sexy, you're not beautiful. If you're not hot, if you're not all of these different things. And I looked up the definition of sexy, and it says sexually attractive or exciting, alluring. What? Why? If I am the image of God, would I want someone to be sexually attracted to me? And I think it's these things we need to think about, because we just buy in to the fashion. We buy into what we see. We buy into the magazines. We buy in, and we think sexy is beautiful. But that's not really what sexy is. Sexy is, I am a sex object. Look at me. I have no value other than that. And I think we have to realize that's what we communicate. What we have to look at is, what does God say beauty really is? If we look over in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. We're bombarded by images. It's all around us. And if we're not careful, if we don't think through it, we're going to actually start defining beauty the way the world defines beauty. We're going to start thinking like the world. And I think we have to remember, we're God's. We're supposed to reflect God. Whether you're a disciple or not, when God made you, he made you in his image. And that's his plan, was for all of us to reflect him. And to reflect him, we have to understand what is beautiful to him. And I love it because, you know, the inner self. The thing about the inner self and who we are on the inside, it can't be corrupted by decay and age. The reality is, we are all going to get old, y'all. You guys are still really young, smooth skin, beautiful. It's funny, every day I get up and I look in the mirror, I'm like, I'm starting to use serum. I'm starting to use like all these different products that I've never used before. When I put on eyeshadow, my lid moves. You know? Let me just tell you, the struggles. No, I'm just kidding. But the truth is, our outside is decaying. And if we put all the value in our outside, then we're missing the boat. We're not tending to the things that are really important, which is the stuff that's on the inside. And so I think we've got to really think about, who am I on the inside? And then the second part that God values is a gentle and quiet spirit. I know some of the young people are like, wait, hold up. Are you telling me I have to be silent? No. It's, you know, that's another thing. Maybe another day, another sermon. But I actually do want to say this. Gentle and quiet spirit, if you look at the Hebrew Greek translation, gentle is actually translated as humble. It's when we're humble that God finds us beautiful. And the quiet, it's actually translated, it's really funny. It translates keeping one's seat. That's the literal translation. In other words, you don't jump up at every little thing. It's about being still and not necessarily silent. It's about that you don't let things shake you, that you are unmovable and that you're solid. That's what God finds as valuable. That's what God thinks is beautiful. If you dress like this, what are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about the things that you value? And this is just streetwear. People who post themselves on Instagram and Pinterest, and like, they're, the one on the my right, far right, is an ad, but the rest of them are just people that they post. It's amazing what you can get off the internet. Y'all, don't post stuff. Yeah, put those away. But, you know, I want you to think to yourself, what do you communicate? And yeah, you know, it is. There is an aspect to it that is cute. I have to say that. But what does it say about you? And what does it say about the things that you care about? I'm not really advocating that we wear shrouds and like we cover up. And I mean, I love fashion. I love beauty. I love the industry. I think there are parts of it that are really fun, parts of it that are terrible. But, you know, I think I just want us to really consider before we put something on. I want us to really think about what we wear. What does it communicate about ourselves? What does it communicate about the things that we value? It's so important to know those things, or you get swept up in just what the world tells you. It's so important to know who you are, because God wants us to honor him with our bodies. He wants us to honor him. He wants us to reflect his image. And I really don't think those things, those images that we've seen tonight, really reflects God at all. I think moms, go beyond policing your children's clothes. Because I think sometimes we can just do that. You know what I'm saying? We can. It's funny. In our house on Sunday morning, we have this, you know, short check. Or whatever, skirt check. And, you know, everyone comes down. It's like, okay, they have to raise their arms and bend over. And so, you know, that's what we do. But I think it's easy sometimes to stop at that. And you don't ever have the conversation. I think it's so important that we go beyond policing. We really have to have the conversations about who they are and who they want to be. You know, talk about their worth. That they are so precious beyond what they wear. That they're worth so much more. And what they wear is not what makes them beautiful. I think we have to talk to them about how they're not defined by their bodies. Yes, they want to be healthy. Yes, they want to take care of it. But they're not defined by it. It's not what makes them who they are. I think we need to have these conversations with each other. And to really encourage each other. Because the world doesn't do that. It tells us all the things that's wrong with us. And all the things that we're not good enough. I think for those who have sons, I don't have a son, but I have a strong opinion about this. Teach your sons to have radical respect for the opposite sex. That is so, so important. The truth is, they're going to see it out there. They go to the mall, they're going to see it. But teach your sons to understand that it's a broken world. And that this is not the type of women you want. And yes, they're trying to lure you in. And they're trying to get you. But don't give in. Respect them. Teach your sons to understand women are not sex objects. They are relational. They are friends. They are your sisters. They are your neighbors. They are people. Teach your sons to see that. There's an amazing, amazing young man in one of our campus ministries, in one of our sister congregation. He's in nursing school. And so you can imagine being in nursing school as a man. That is just very difficult. Mass majority are women. Amazing, amazing guy. But young man. But, you know, in nursing school, you have to do rotations. And one of the rotation is labor and delivery. But this is the type of integrity that he has. He talked to his instructor, professor, I'm not sure what they call it in nursing school. But and he's like, I do not want to be assigned to a labor and delivering. A labor. While some, you know, and that's what everyone wants to do in labor delivery. They want to be there when the baby is born. And he is like, I don't. Because I am saving this for one day when I see my children are born. Radical respect and integrity. That's what we need to teach our sons. That's what we need to help our sons see. You know, we need to teach our sons that they want women with self-worth. They want women who see themselves as worthy. And they don't want just anybody who is available. They want a woman who has inner beauty. I want to end with this video, and then after the video is done, Leslie's going to come up and close us out with a prayer.
You are beautiful. You are smart. You are funny. You are kind. You are unique. You are worthy of love and affection. You are never too much, and you are always enough. You are precious. You are a diamond, a rose, a pearl, the most stunning of all God's creation. You are worth more than you could ever imagine. Worth more than the numbers on the scale, or the hair product you use, or the shoes you wear. More than how many girls wish they were you, or how many guys wish they had you. More than the price tags on your clothes, or the percentage at the top of your math test, or even the number of followers you have on Twitter. Your worth surpasses all earthly things, because in the eyes of the Lord God, you are loved, and you are worth dying for. Regardless of who you think you are, whether you model in a magazine, or you model pottery with grandma, whether you're on the hot list or the not list, whether you're head cheerleader or a high school dropout, whether you're Miss Popular or you've never had anyone you could call a friend, whether you love yourself and love your life, or you can't stand to look in the mirror and you feel as if everything in your life is falling apart, whether you're such a winner or you feel like the world's biggest failure, regardless of who you think you are, the reality is that you deserve someone who would give up their life for you, because you are powerful and strong and capable. Read about the women in the Bible. Esther, Ruth, Martha, Mary. These women changed the world forever. And inside of you, each and every one of you is a woman with that same power and that same strength and that same world-changing capability. And your responsibility is to find that woman and to set that woman free. This is who you are. And any voices in your mind that try and tell you differently are from the enemy. And the next time you hear them, this is what you say. You say, nuh-uh, not me, Satan. I am a daughter of the living God, cherished, loved, and adored above all things by the Creator of all things for the glory of Him who is greater than all things. I am awesome. And please, don't you forget it.